What's the story in Scotland about this game? I mean, there's a lot of chat here. There's a lot of people worried that it might go wrong for Ireland. I personally can't see that. But I'm just wondering, what are you seeing? Because you're right in the middle of it over there.
Yeah, I suppose I am. Yeah, I'm right in the thick of it here. But it's, I think there's what you've seen about Scotland over, you know, in the build up to the World Cup and over their last three games, maybe South Africa aside. But you hear a lot of up talking, you know, how they're, you know, they have great belief in their game and their great belief in their style and great belief in their attack, and you know, they're a major threat and they can beat anyone in the world on their day, and in some ways I think they could be right. I think maybe they have been building it up a little bit more than they've actually delivered. I think even against Tonga and Romania, I mean, they are lower teams, but they really struggle against South Africa. But I think they've only really produced maybe at max a 7 out of 10 performance. So they are talking it up and saying how good maybe they could be, but I think they haven't delivered upon that yet. And I think there's maybe cautious optimism, maybe that, you know, if everything clicks, it could be a good day for them. I haven't seen it click yet. I've seen glimpses of it, but it's, I think, you know, they will need really, in my personal opinion, they'd need to be at least 9 out of 10 in a performance. But even that alone, if they come up against an Ireland that produces a 9 out of 10 performance, you know, they're not going to get anywhere near them. They really need Ireland at a 5 out of 10, and Scotland need to be at a 9 out of 10, I think, to get this victory.
Yeah, it sort of has that feel. I mean, you've always got to be careful. This is a sort of a one-off game. Ireland play Scotland once a year, without fail, in the Six Nations, home or away. But this has a different sort of scenario to it. You're talking about Scotland having to get their game plan up and running there. Let's look at a few of the aspects. Let's look at them defensively. If Ireland turn on the sort of power game that they did against South Africa, which was a tight, tough game, defensively, yeah, can Scotland cope with that?
Funnily enough, I know Scotland talk a lot about their attack, but watching Scotland and knowing what they're trying to do there, I think their major strength is actually in their defence at the moment. I think they're a tough team to break down. A lot of their tries that they've conceded, from what I can see, are coming from like transition. So when they kick the ball, I think they're struggling to, you know, regain the shape that they want to put enough pressure on the opposition. And then when they turn the ball over, and you know, they don't mind turning the ball over, Scotland, because they play a possession-based game. So they expect to turn the ball over a number of times, but they haven't reacted as well. Some teams have picked them off, maybe more so in the build-up to the World Cup than actually during it. But I do think they have they do trouble some teams defensively, and Ireland very much are, you know, they're a possession-based team, but they got really good balance to their game with their kicking game. And I think what you've seen against Ireland is that when their attack isn't allowed fire, they find other ways to win. And they, you know, if it's defensively at the breakdowns, the kicking game, the set piece maybe hasn't been firing as well as it has been. But Scotland can really slow your ball down. Their whole ethos and defense is trying to spend as much time in the tackle, and that's either, you know, you'll commit two defenders there, and whether that's on their feet or on the ground, they'll really make a mess as much of the opposition and the attacking breakdown if they can. And if they can get 3 up to 4 second ruck time there, they know then that they can, you know, put more pressure on in terms of their line speed and their connections, and hopefully turn you over at the next breakdown or whatever it's going to be. So Ireland rely, you know, when Ireland are in flow, and maybe outside of the South Africa game, South Africa didn't really allow them to get that flow to their attack that they're, you know, that they've really perfected over the last couple of years. But Scotland have the ability to slow them down there as well. So I think that's going to be a really interesting battle, I think, around the breakdown, because Scotland have the ability, I think, to slow Ireland down. And if they can, you know, if they get Ireland out of their flow, now Scotland still need to be able to pick them off. They still need to be able to take their chances. They haven't been as efficient as I think that they could be or should be, or that they actually need to be to win these games.
Yeah, there's been some discussion as well, the fact that Nick Berry is the referee, and there's I think he's a good referee. I think he's a good communicator, but there's a bit of a feeling that maybe at the breakdown area it can get a little messy, but with just some of the way that he interprets things. But Ireland are pretty smart operators there. So that, you know, initially, do you see that as being the first real situation play that you have to get right? And deal with whatever's in front of you, rather than hoping that it goes the way you would hope it would at 100%, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I think Ireland are very good at not getting too flustered either. They're a very patient team. They play with great patience, and that they, you know, they're not trying to score every phase. They set themselves up that they could score every phase. You know, their connections in attack are so good, and you know how they move the ball, change the point of contact is very impressive. I think though that, you know, it's very similar to Scotland. They're a similar kind of mindset, and they're both good in other ways. But I think Ireland have that ability just to find another way. So as I said, they won't get too flustered if maybe the attack isn't flowing. They'll find another way. They'll find set piece pressure. They'll find pressure through their kicking game. So I mean, Johnny Sexton, obviously, I assume he'll be playing. But again, he's tactically, he's able to, you know, put pressure on the opposition in other ways. The running game is one, but that kicking game, he's one of the best at it. And whether, you know, he'll put pressure on you know, the two wingers, Duane van der Merwe, I assume if it's him and Darcy Graham who are playing over Kyle Stain probably would have the advantage in the aerial game, but I think the two have definitely got some X factor, but they may not be the strongest. If Ireland go to plan B or plan C or whatever the kicking game might be in their own plans, but you know, Ireland could find another foothold into the game in that department.
And if they find a foothold through maybe being able to exploit that, you're talking about the patience game. Are they looking to get the two, like Mac Hansen and James Lowe, involved? Would that come maybe a number of phases in, or do you go on maybe early in the phase play to them? How do you see that breaking down? Because Hansen can turn up anywhere. He's as likely to finish up trying to clear out a ruck in the middle of the field as actually be out on his wing.
He's been, you know, a revelation. He's been fantastic and great to watch. And consistently, you know, every performance is consistent with him. So he's, you know, he's a constant threat no matter, you know, which game or what opposition he plays. But I don't think Ireland will change their game greatly. I think, you know, it's stood them well now for the last couple of years. And they know that, you know, there is plan A, we can go to that running game. Now, that means if you get the ball to, you know, it's not about getting to the players, it's getting the ball to the space. So if Mike Hansen happens to be in that space, or the space on the, you know, for James Lowe, the space is through teams, it's just about identifying that as quick as possible. So, you know, Ireland are as good at playing through teams as they are around them and putting that kicking game. So I don't think Ireland need to chase it, though. I mean, Ireland aren't looking for try bonuses, you know, they're just looking to win the game. So they don't need to win it in the first 15 minutes. So I don't think you'll see them forcing their game. I think they'll play their game, you know, which is all about playing to space and, you know, using those connections, whether you kick the ball or run the ball, but, you know, and hopefully, you know, they may use their set piece if they get that to fire to advantage. But I don't think you'll see them forcing it. I don't think you'll see them playing too much in their own half. I think they put the pressure onto Scotland and force Scotland. Scotland need to score the try. Scotland need try bonus. If they don't get 5 points, that's it. It's game over. So Ireland know that. So they can just, I mean, they can play the game going, here's Scotland, here's the ball, but you're having it in your half. So knowing that Scotland, you know, have the potential to turn that ball over there. And then again, part of Ireland and putting the pressure on is they'll put the pressure on defensively or at the breakdown, you know, and they'll pick them off then with points. So Ireland can afford to go 3-6-9 on the scoreboard, where Scotland need to go 7-14-21-28. They have to force it a little bit more. So like, I don't think you'll see Scotland forcing it too early. I think, you know, they'll hope they can start racking them up. You don't get very rare, you'll get, you know, 3 or 4 tries in the first 20 minutes. It could be up to 60 minutes. So I think It'll be interesting seeing Scotland's tact and how they go about it. And, you know, realistically, they need Finn Russell. Finn Russell is the kingpin at the moment for the Scottish team, but as he's a real maverick, obviously. He plays, when Scotland are on it, he's on it. But I'm also seeing as well, when Scotland are off it, he's off it. So what that means is that I think he's as good as he is for Scotland. I think he can cause them problems too. He can run them up blind alleys. He can, you know, they can lose their way. They can lose their connections. He tends to do his own thing rather than bringing other players into it. Like the two centres we work with Glasgow. I don't see them as much with Scotland as I do with Glasgow. They're very prominent in our attack. They share that workload. They're looking, they're scanning. They're the ones that are our playmakers. Whereas with Scotland, it's all on Finn Russell. So, you know, but if he's on his day, like he's a classy operator, and I said he has the potential to open doors for Scotland as well. As much as I think, you know, if he's slightly off it, he's the one that could cause them problems too.
Yeah, is it too simplistic to say that if you put him under pressure and you slow him down a bit, that he's inclined then to try the magic, you know, the crossfield kick or the passing in midfield can get very loose. We saw that a little bit even in the two games against Tonga and Romania, but it's not as important in those games. But certainly a couple of times against South Africa, he just seemed to panic a bit, and the South Africans shut him down very effectively. Is that Ireland's game plan? They have to get in there and say, you're not getting any space.
Yeah, and it's not as much as shutting him down. It's, you know, it's shutting those players around him. And like he does, he likes them really wide, flat passes. And, you know, if Ireland are in that space, it's going to be difficult to find any break through there. But I think Ireland also will go after their breakdown. I think what Ireland did very well against South Africa was, while South Africa don't have the most fluid attack, they still made it really difficult to win their own ball. So again, if Ireland can reproduce, you know, that tenacity at the breakdown, you know, and slow Scotland's ball down. Scotland rely on, you know, 2 second rucks, you know, to have space. So if they can make that 3 to 4 seconds, it minimizes his options. Then he has to start making stuff up. And that's when he goes to like crossfield kicks and these kind of what he magic passes, you know, he tries to pluck them out of somewhere. And I think the more pressure you put on the breakdown, the slower that is, then the pressure comes on from the line speed of the defense. And then he's going, which is what South Africa did. He ends up kind of said running up blind alleys. Then he starts to make stuff up, which isn't always best for the team.
And Ireland are capable. Do you think their line speed's capable of dealing with that and dealing maybe with these off the cuff type plays, that there's such an experience there now across that Irish defensive line that everybody seems to know their job?
Yeah, I mean, as much as, you know, their attack flows, I think their defense flows equally well. I think they're very well connected in defense. And while they're not a team that puts massive line speed, I mean, relative to the likes of South Africa, South Africa are in the extreme there in terms of the pressure they put on opposition. But Ireland are very well connected. So, I mean, if the breakdowns, if you can get, you know, over 3 second, up to 4 second breakdowns, it allows your defense to get connected, have as much width in the pitch. They don't need to come off the line too hard. They don't need to force it either. They just need to defend it again at the next breakdown, put pressure back in there, try and get that over 3 to 4 seconds. And they're always connected. They always have width. They'll always feel a little bit more comfortable, is a kind of funny word in defense. You're never real comfortable, but once you feel connected, you feel, look at a team, you know, they're going to struggle to break us down. And I think they've got to resort then to a different type of game.
Going local for a second, there's three Connacht players involved. We've mentioned Mac Hansen there, but the one that is standing out even more than him is Bundiaki.
Yeah.
And we've also got Finlay Beelam, who comes off the bench and seems to turn in these amazing 20-minute performances. What are you seeing? I mean, you know Bundy when he was at Connacht. What are you seeing from him? Have you ever seen him play better rugby?
I don't think so. I think I think he's matured not only as a player but as a person as well. I think he's a lot calmer. Even you see him when he scores or when he does. He's not yahooing. He's not getting overly excited. He's really calm, and he's very composed. And I think that's helping him. I think it's helping him with his decision making. I think it helps him with get on the ball. I think it helps him see pictures that are clear to him in terms of where to play to space and how he can have an involvement in that. I just think he's nice and calm. And I think it really suits him. And like, he's in unbelievable condition. I mean, I don't know if I've never seen Bundy out of condition for one anyway, but I think he looks extremely fit. He looks light on his feet. He doesn't look, but even like he looks strong, but he's very, he's explosive as well. But I an area I think in the past where he wouldn't have been the strength of his game, but his decision-making under pressure, you know, and his pass quality wouldn't have been in one of the strongest parts of the game historically. But I think what we're seeing him over the last, you know, definitely year is that part of his game, I think, has improved hugely. And he's a massive threat on the line. He always has a threat as a running. He always had that running threat, but I think now he has that ability to pass, so be a running threat and have the pass ability as well. And I still think it maybe his triple threat, his kick isn't probably there yet, but it's but having those two, the pass and run, it's allowing him to be himself. But I think because he's so calm, or he looks calm to me, I don't know, you know,
yeah, what's he does, head,
but he just comes across as that way. So I think he's just making good decisions and he's allowed to be himself, and he looks like he's a guy who's really enjoying that environment.
They all do. I said on a broadcast recently, I said, look, Johnny Sexton looks relaxed. He's smiling. He doesn't look under pressure. There seems to be a hard edge to this team, that the belief that maybe drifted away in 2019 has almost ratcheted up now, that they really believe they can deal with anything that's thrown at them.
Credit must go to like Andy Farrell and what he's done over the last, and how he's developed that team. And I mean, I think in my final year, I went into one of their camps, I think it was pre-COVID, which when he had taken over, and I think it was just post the World Cup, to the, you know, in 2019, this would have been in February 2020, just before COVID. And I think because it was post Joe Smith era, which was quite a tense, I mean, it had its own success in many ways, but what they all felt from Andy Farrell's camp, it was so relaxed. You're allowed to be yourself. You were encouraged to have a voice. And but the standard bearers were the players, and they drove it. And they're the ones that I think that have owned that environment. But he's facilitated, but he's put them into little holes along the way, like even going to New Zealand last year, having two midweek games between the tests. It really challenged the players. It challenged the management. You know, he took a home game this year in prep, the Samoa game, and was due to be played in Aviva, but he took it to Bayonne again. He wanted to take them out of their comfort zone. So I think they're used to being, what they've gotten is comfortable being uncomfortable. So, you know, no matter what gets thrown at them now, again, even they played Scotland during the Six Nations and they lost two hookers, and, you know, you get Josh van der Flair having to throw the ball and Keane Healy goes into the middle of the scrum. They're not things that you think about always, that you can plan for, but they seem to just find a way around it, which is because they're nice and calm, and because they trust each other and they know they will, they back each other. They all know their roles. No one's looking over their shoulders. They can trust each other that they can deliver collectively because they know how each individual, you know, each one is a cog in the wheel, but they know what makes the wheel kind of turn. And if that wheel doesn't, they know they can find other ways. So it's a very unique and a utopian sort of situation to be in, certainly as a coaching team, to go, these guys can find their own way. It's not all on the coaches to come up with the answers. I think the players are finding the solutions themselves, which is, you know, a Brucey bonus.
Is that based a lot on trust, that you trust the other guy is going to make the right decision? You're not actually making his decision for him. You're actually saying, I know he's going to make the right decision, and if there's a slight error, I'll come in and tidy it, rather than second guessing each other all the time, which you see in a lot of teams, where especially in defense, but sometimes in attack, where some player overplays or some guy underplays. They don't do enough or they do too much. It's a very tight dividing line.
I think it's important in rugby, or maybe in sport, that you just make a decision, you know, and you back your decision be it right or wrong, but you be assertive in your decision making. So it doesn't always have to be to make the right decision, but as long as you make a decision and you don't get caught in two minds, I think what Ireland are is very assertive. Look, I think it helps when you have Johnny Sexton there as well. And I know before maybe Jack Crowley came in, that like Ireland were definitely a different team without Johnny Sexton, but you can see them same traits in the likes of Jack Crowley now, and you know what he's done with Munster, certainly at the back end of last year, and he's found a way for his team certainly to win that URC, you know, and a drop goal against Leinster and then to go down all the way down to Stormers. So he's got those skills as well. So you can see that, look at maybe the future could be, you know, in good hands with him as well. So, but they're very assertive in their decision making. It doesn't always have to be the right decision, but I think they trust that they're, you know, whoever is going to make a decision, they all back it. They all roll in behind it.
So you're confident Ireland are going to get this job done on Saturday night?
I have my head and my heart, obviously. My head is over here, you know, in Glasgow. My heart is always, you know, in Ireland. And because I work with, we've got, I think, 17 players involved with Scotland. And, you know, they're great lads. They're great to work with, as much as the Connacht fellas were. I mean, you don't get bad people, you know, in rugby anyway. But they're good lads. They want to do well. They want to play, and they're ambitious, but they worked very hard as well. You know, I mean, that entitles you to nothing. But I'd like to see them do well. I mean, I went to the game, the Six Nations game, Scotland, Ireland, and, you know, you're kind of sitting with a foot in each camp. But I wouldn't mind if Scotland had won that day. Fair play, because I know these guys, and, you know, I work with them and I have so much time for them. But it's very difficult to see them breaking the Ireland machine. It's like, I mean, they really need to get Ireland on a bad day, and Ireland haven't had a bad day for a couple of years now, certainly since Andy Farrell's, you know, got through the first, you know, 6 or 9 months there. They haven't played badly, so I can't see them at this stage having a poor game. I can't see them dropping to a 5 out of 10 all just because Scotland are putting pressure on it. They've developed the skills to be able to overcome all the adversity, be it injuries or yellow cards, or I mean, I don't know if they've had too many red cards, but you know, they've been there, they've been into the dark spaces, and they know how to navigate through it now. So it's very hard to see Scotland beating them, but I'm a couple of percent going, look at, I wouldn't mind seeing it being tight, or Scotland at least, you know, getting that 7 or 8 out of 10 performance and really throwing the kitchen sink at it. And you know, at least not to, if they do go out, that they've gone out and it with a real bang.
Interesting thing you were talking about there is red and yellow cards. The two biggest games of the tournament, in some ways, New Zealand, France, Ireland, South Africa. No cards, no high tackles, decision making by the referees, nobody really shouting and roaring at him. Is that a thing that can be coached? I mean, Ireland, I think, have had one yellow card in about 14 or 15 games. Does that show that if you're right on it, you can actually avoid a lot of these issues that turn up in a lot of other games that maybe you don't have sides that are as well coached or as just switched on?
Coaching is one. So I think, you know, a lot of the tackles and the breakdowns and the rucking, they're very technical. But I think you can control that with your emotions as well. I mean, so the environment where if you're over, you know, you're over the edge. So you won't see this from Ireland on Saturday night, where they're overly excited about this. They'll be very calm and very composed. We spoke about Bundy there. I think he epitomizes it. He's not getting overly excited. He doesn't. So when you get overly, when you tip the scales over, you know, that emotional side, you know, things get a bit fuzzy and you start to think about other things and you forget about your technique and you forget about, so if you think I'm just going to hit this so hard, but you forget about your foot and your body height and your, you know, getting your arms, you forget all about the things that get you, all the technical aspects. So I think that's the key. And I think Ireland have shown they're very calm and very composed, and they've been there. That's why I don't think they don't get too excited. They're not an overly aggressive team emotionally, they're aggressive physically and technically, they're just accurate. They're so accurate at the breakdown. They're so accurate in their tackles. It's not about trying to be too physical, as I think they'll back that. As long as they, you know, all their techniques are on the money, you know, that they'll avoid all the, you know, a lot of those collisions are because, you know, either guys are fatigued or they're in the wrong position. But I think when you're cool and you're calm, I think you can minimize the effect of that.
My final question: if they win on Saturday, can they win the World Cup? Because they got to win on Saturday to keep moving this forward, Ireland. And then we know what's coming down the tracks. It's New Zealand, it's Wales or Argentina, the quarterfinal hoodoo and all the rest of it. What's your gut on that, Nigel?
I think all the real battles are to come starting this Saturday. You know, the South African game was, you know, immense, but it wasn't a must win game. It wasn't a do or die game. I mean, you know, from Saturday night, right from now on, it is. And that's new territory. You know, that's where they haven't been before, certainly at a World Cup. So, that's where all the adversity that Andy Farrell has subjected them to with the tours and the midweek games and the, you know, the injuries and bringing home games on the road. And that's what it's all about, you know, to be able to deal with the moment. And you can see how composed and calm they are, that if it's not this year, you know, it's when, you know, because I think they've set themselves up so well for this World Cup, with Johnny Sexton's swan song as well. Like, I mean, our old players, they're going to find another couple of percent inside them, just, you know, in terms of when, you know, if things are going wrong or when they're under the pump. Like, they'll work hard and they'll work for him. He'll ensure that they're all working anyway. But there's nothing stopping. I mean, the only ones that are stopping them is them if they have a poor performance. But I think when they keep delivering upon these, you know, 7-8 out of tens, and then, you know, even the South Africa one, it was right up there. You know, in terms of what, some things weren't working, but they're finding other ways. They're such a hard team to beat it right now because they're a well-oiled machine.